All right, guys, we're here live at Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City. I'm Tyler with Project Nerd, and I'm here with Sean from Language of Romance. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you.
So how's your con going?
It's been awesome. Like, all the different stuff going on. I actually came with my mother-in-law, which is awesome. She loves all this stuff, too, so it's been a good time.
What's been the highlight so far?
Well, actually, there's, like, some girl walking around in a Princess Leia outfit, and it pretty much didn't look like she had anything underneath, so that was kind of... you know, eye-catching, I guess. So,
did you see the Ultra Saber guys yet?
Not yet, no.
You got to go take one of those up. Sweet. And then give them all your money. So talk to us about the Language of Romance.
Language of Romance, me and my buddy back in June, I mean, it's just like everybody. We always talked about doing a show, and you get to the point where you're like, who's going to listen, you know, whatever. Like, just like, fuck it, we're going to do it. So we sat down, started recording. We've got our 38th episode is actually going to release tomorrow. And so since we started, we haven't missed a day. So it's been pretty awesome.
And if we tune in and listen to Language of Romance, what kind of stuff are we going
to
get?
I mean, it's pretty similar to, like, Smodcast type thing. It's just two buddies trying to make each other laugh. One of my favorite episodes was one we recently had called Loch Ness Rim. Basically, we got on the subject of, like, Loch Ness being like Pacific Rim. That's where the Loch Ness Monster comes from. And the only way to fight it is a big Scottish robot with a big Scottish dick. So it was pretty fun.
And so if people want to get in and listen to Language of Romance, what do they need to do?
You can go to languageofromance.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, any kind of different podcatcher. You should be able to find us pretty easily. So we're at Language of Bro. We're on Facebook. So any of those social avenues kind of taking over the web.
Fair enough. So we've got giant Loch Ness monster from another dimension being fought by a Scottish robot with a giant dick. What's some other things that we can expect to find?
One of our other fun episodes, we found a story about some chimp wars that happened with Jane Goodall. So we had a fun time talking about that, kind of like a almost like a godfather with chimps. Just any kind of stories like that. We try to make each other laugh. One of our other recent episodes, we talked about some ladies that tried to bust some guys out of jail. They drugged the guards with
that was
spiked
in
whiskey.
South America or something
in
like
Brazil,
that. Was
yeah. And that led us down to a whole, like, transgender type of discussion. So anything just to make each other laugh. Something else we do that's pretty cool. Whenever you have an episode that ends in a 3 or an 8, we do some type of draft. Like, we did a zombie apocalypse draft. We do movie drafts, things like that. That's something kind of unique we do.
Fair enough. So zombie apocalypse draft. Are we drafting people we want to be on our team? Or are we drafting...
It's pretty much the people you want to be with you on the, you know, the front of the zombie apocalypse. My buddy Richard, who's part of the podcast as well, his second pick was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Man, that's a good choice.
It was. It was Buffy without the powers, though, because we didn't want any kind of, like, demigods or any, like, superheroes. But for some reason, he thought, you know, he'd have a chance with her in the zombie apocalypse.
The problem is, everyone else gets eaten, I guess.
The problem is, he had Dean on his team from Supernatural, so I kind of
think who's number one overall draft pick in a zombie apocalypse?
Dean.
Was Dean?
Mine was Norman Reedus.
I mean, obviously.
Daryl Dixon, yeah.
I mean, Crossbow, he's going to mess some things up. Awesome. So, languageofromance.com and things like this.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse draft. Giant dick Scottish robots.
Scottish robots that shoot into space.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's been a blast, yeah.
All right. So, and you guys said your episode, how long have you guys been doing it? A couple months now?
It's been since June, so right about 9 months. We've done 38 straight weeks, so we've had an episode come out every Sunday. Sunday's when we release it, usually about 8 in the morning, so we should be there.
Fantastic. All right, everyone, if you want to hear more of these kinds of things, head to languageofromance.com, download an episode. You've got 38 to catch up on and get addicted so that you can wait for it every Sunday. Sean, man, thanks for coming on the show.
No
we appreciate
problem. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, guys, coming at you live again from Planet Comic-Con here in Kansas City. I am with Ryan and Joe from Living the Nerd Life. How's your guys' con going?
Great.
A lot of fun. The first time out here, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we haven't been out to this one yet, and it's really a lot of fun. Great cosplayers, great vendors. Good people.
Are you guys from the Kansas City area or just visiting for the con specifically? Or
found out about the con 2 weeks ago from some friends in Kansas, and we're actually from St. Louis. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're so based out of St. Louis.
Little drive down I-70?
Yep.
Yeah, not too bad. Nice straight shot.
Yeah.
There you go. So tell us about Living the Nerd Life.
Yeah, so we are a cultural, social, news, and life website. We post at least 2 to 3 pieces of content a day with a video. We started a Walking Dead podcast, So each after every episode of The Walking Dead, we then kind of just talk about it, chat, what do we think, what do we like about it, and then put that up. We're going to be starting another podcast, a nerd podcast, that's going to be kind of interviewing people in the St. Louis area, just like what do they do, how do you do it, how do other people get into it kind of thing. So yeah, that's really what we do.
Yep. How'd you guys get started? What was the impetus that like we're going to make our own nerd website?
Man, it kind of, it's weird how it all started because we both were doing our own thing, and then we knew each other for a long time. And we were like, you know what? Let's kind of, like, our powers combine type thing, and we can make something small, hopefully get bigger and bigger with working a lot of other people, artists, like he was saying.
Yeah, we're all about collaboration and that, you know, separate we can each do cool things, but together we can create Captain Planet, right? Like, that's our whole thing on why we're doing this and what we do. It was like, oh, I'm like growing my Instagram and doing this. Like, oh yeah, I am too. Like, well, why don't we just do it together? Okay, cool. And then we found people in January. We started adding more people. We have like added about 8 people. Like, oh yeah, you guys are doing this too? Let's just like do it together and see what happens. So that's really what it's all been about, is like that collaboration and really combining the powers. And we love finding new people to collaborate with and to work with and to support, really.
Awesome. So if people go to livingthenerdlife.com, what kind of content can we expect to find? And is there something there to float everyone's boat?
Pretty much, yeah. Just today we did a lot of action figure posts. Tron 3 post coming out. We got pool lists for comic books for each week.
Yep. So we got a guy who does dioramas. So he makes dioramas, takes pictures of his action figures in there. We have cosplayers that write for us. We do all of the, you know, new trailers coming out. We have some guys out of Wichita, Kansas that create videos, and they do talks on. They just did 2 talks on the on fan films. And on video games. So we have like a very wide variety of nerd content.
You got someone hit all the bases.
Yep. Yeah,
What's your guys' geek? What gets you guys going the most?
For us, it's like actually coming here, meeting people. Like, we just spent like 3 hours over in the artist alley trying to meet people, cosplayers, and trying to, you know, just meet a lot of people and kind of share what we're doing with our people that we do, because everything we do, we try to tweet it, Facebook it, you know, make it really social for everybody to see what we're doing, because we're still out here living the nerd life, as you would say. So
yeah, and that's what we're really about, is like everyone has a story living the nerd life, and it's like, what does that mean to you? Like, I love collecting toys, and like I'm really into Transformers and Star Wars. Joe, he loves Batman
and retro gaming and collecting. So we have our kind of our little niches, but then everybody else that we have on there as well is going to be filling in the other holes for us that we can't fill all the time. So,
and that's what we really love, is we love hearing people's stories and then really telling those stories and sharing those stories. Like, what are you into?
Yep.
You know.
Awesome. So why The Walking Dead? Just because that was what you guys were really into at the time? Or
when we kind of first came out with the idea for a podcast, it was like we were both into The Walking Dead, and it was kind of one of those stepping stones for us. So we were like, you know what? This is something we both have in common right now that we can kind of talk about, kind of step into it ourselves, and then break off later once we're able, well, once the season's over, obviously.
Yeah.
Go into a little bit more detail for stuff instead of just one content. You know?
Yeah, and Joe started Walker Wednesday, a blog post that he does every week, and he just started like kind of a primer for this last season, and I was like, why don't we just talk about like that, like do what you just wrote and talk about it and podcast it?
Yep.
And we're like, yeah, let's do it. So that's really how we started. And if you go and listen to our first episode, it's pretty bad, like the quality. But you know, we bought some mics, we got a friend to get us an intro, and yeah, it's coming together. Yeah. We really like it.
Awesome. So I mean, just you guys post one up after every episode, or just
Once a week right now is what we're concentrating on.
On Fridays.
Yep, on Fridays.
How do we feel about the new season? Good.
We personally like it.
Yeah, we definitely like it.
So. Awesome.
They're doing a lot of throwbacks to past seasons and episodes.
I've seen a lot of throwbacks to Dale, which I love.
Yeah. Right.
Episodes and,
So, quick question before we do it. That's hypothetical. Living or dead, you get to cast. I mean, you get to draft one character from The Walking Dead to be your companion in the zombie apocalypse. Who you taking with you?
Okay.
You know who you are?
Yes, ma'am.
I know who mine is. Maggie.
She wants a dog.
She wants gum? Okay.
You taking Maggie?
I'm taking Maggie.
I'll go with Michonne.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so no one's messing with you.
I'm a blade guy. I think everyone overestimates guns, and swords and blades are the way to go.
Uh-huh. Sucks behind me, but I'm going Maggie because she's the hottest girl out there right now.
Fair enough. I'm taking Dale.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a crossbow.
I mean,
he's going to mess some people up.
Yeah.
Norman Reedus is kind of scary.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so tell us about the new podcast you're getting ready to launch then, in addition to the Walking Dead one.
Yeah, it's really just going to be a conversation, like we said, what we're doing on our website, living the nerd life. How do these different people live the nerd life? Like, are they into collecting toys? Do they sell toys? Are they comic people? Are they podcasters? Are they video people? What are you into? And we want to have them on the podcast and really just dive into how they got started, what they produce, what they do, and then also how can people get into what you do and kind of helping people.
Yeah, that's the big one. I know we were talking about some people like Butterscotch Gaming, Pixel Press.
Yeah, there's a lot of indie game developers out of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to help promote those people, but also how can people, like we said, start and get into that and then also promote you guys and see what's going on.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So people, one more time, if we want to check it out, it's livingthenerdlife.com.
Correct.
Where else can we find you? Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah. We're on Facebook. If you type in Living the Nerd Life, you'll get us. We're also on Twitter at Team Nerd Life. And then we also have our personal Instagrams. I'm at RYZN.
And I am at The Social Nerd.
Fantastic. Well, Ryan, Joe, thanks for talking to us, man.
Thanks for talking to us.
Good awesome. Luck with your new podcast, and keep having fun at the con.
Definitely. Thanks, we will.
All right. All right, guys, we're coming at you live from Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City. I'm Tyler here with Project Nerd, and I'm with JJ from the Frozen North podcast. Say hello, JJ.
What's going on?
So how's your con been so far?
It's been fantastic. This is way more overwhelming than the smaller ones that I've been to. But, I mean, I'm a local here, so couldn't resist.
Fantastic. What's been the highlight so far?
I'm gonna sound cheesy, but honestly, listening to you guys and your panel, it was so informative. And, like, our podcast that we do is kind of we've only been around for about a year and a half. But I got some really good ideas from you, and I'm looking forward to trying to implement some of that.
Cool. I'm glad that someone was able to learn something from us.
That's
our mistakes.
It. There you go.
The fact that people are able to learn from it's terrifying, but it's exciting. So tell us about the Frozen North.
Well, we talk about video games. We try to look at them from a philosophical perspective. If you, I assume you would know about book clubs.
Yeah.
If you've ever been a part of a book club or something like that, you talk about, you know, characters and motivations and storyline settings, that kind of stuff. That's kind of the aspects that we look into when it comes to gaming, not just, yeah, I was playing the other day and my KDR was sweet, bro. it's more like, you know, what makes the villain tick in this game, or let's talk about the world and the countries that reside on this continent in this game or something like that.
I mean, as a gamer, I've definitely had those conversations with people. You can get pretty deep down the rabbit
Absolutely.
Hole. What are some franchises or games in specific that have really captured the imagination or really have led to a podcast where you can say, like, this is
well,
something good here?
I mean, that's one of the best things about the show is we dabble in a little bit of everything. There's three of us. There's myself. I really like the classic old school retro RPGs and that kind of stuff. I actually bought a bunch of NES games for my first stop here. Another guy on our show, Brian, is really into the new powerhouse, big, flashy games. And then Mark is really into the indie stuff you may not have heard of. So, I mean, we all kind of contribute in different ways, but I mean, like, we talk about Final Fantasy a lot. The Suikoden series is really, really big. We actually just did an interview with one of the admins of the Suikoden Revival movement, about 20,000 people strong, trying to bring back the movement and doing some great things over there. And Mass Effect, yeah. Really, really big into that. I never had any interest in playing it until the show, and I'm so glad that we started doing it because it's really opened my eyes to, you know, games that I would not have otherwise played.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can get other people to do the same thing.
And when it comes to, like, breaking down, you know, a game to its narrative, to its philosophical points, do you prefer ones where you really have to dig for it, or something, or where it wears it on its sleeve? So when I say, like, you know, Final Fantasy, some of them, like, while the narrative is big and you really have to want it.
Absolutely.
You really want to have to know it. Or do you want something more like a BioShock, where they're straight up letting you know out the gate, like,
we're gonna tackle some tough stuff here, and it's gonna get deep.
We just did an episode on BioShock Infinite. I confess I have not played it myself, but the other two guys have been giving me tons of crap for it. But they literally sat there for about 20, 30 minutes straight, half our show, just talking about the ending. And we try not to do spoilers, but it was kind of comical because they were like, oh, and the part with the that I can't say, you know what I mean. When it comes to Final Fantasy, perfect example, we just did one on Final Fantasy 13, very controversial title in this series. But we have
people love 40-hour tutorials,
right? I mean, yeah,
it's
no,
fine,
right? That where you just walk down hallways. Absolutely.
I got about 30 hours into the game and quit, and everyone's like, "No, you have to just get past that first part, and then it gets awesome." And they're like, "Well, when has that?" It's like, "Well, about 40 hours."
You would
have
fit
like,
right in.
No,
yep.
No.
We had two guys that were we had brought on another guy who loves
30
the
hours
game.
Of running down hallways was enough for me.
Oh, it was unbelievable, and that's the thing is I've beaten it, I've suffered through it, and that end is good, but it's like exactly you shouldn't have to play 30 hours to get to the good stuff.
The good stuff, yeah.
You know, you should give me a 10-minute intro. Let me get in there. Let me start exploring.
I played Final Fantasy before. Like, explain the new mechanics and let's get to the real
right,
world.
Exactly. Exactly. For sure.
So, you said personally you're into big retro RPGs, obviously. Mm-hmm. You said Final Fantasy is a big one. Are you more console gamer, PC gamer?
Console.
Okay.
I love my PC to death. It is custom. I built it from scratch with my friend's help. But I'm a console gamer at heart. There's something about being able to sit back in your lazy boy with a controller in your hand and just sit and watch a big screen.
So, I mean, it's a big question. I mean, I don't know if I could answer it, but if we're going to go, I don't even have to put them in order, but let's go, you know, top five game franchises of all time. Or like if you could only play five video games for the rest of your life, or five franchises for the rest of your life, what are we doing?
It's funny you should say that because every episode we do a top five list.
Okay.
Franchises, I would say number for me personally, I'm a big JRPG guy, so Final Fantasy number one, obviously. Then probably the Tales of series. I'm a really big fan of those games. I would throw Mass Effect on there now. I'm so into it, and I'd probably throw Dragon Age in there with that as well. Man, that's like asking which one of my kids I like best.
I know.
The Suikoden series.
Yeah.
Just because it's so heavily packed with stories, and Suikoden 2 especially is like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, the video game. And I'd have to throw Mario in there just because the franchise is so huge, and I love those games. They're so great. I've been playing Mario Kart like crazy lately.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. So yeah, I mean, that's Mario. I've been playing... I just finally got a Wii U recently, mm-hmm. and I've been playing Super Mario World 3D, and it's literally one of the most fun I've had playing a video game
it's a blast.
In years. Because it's a little bit of 3, a little bit of 64, a little bit of number 2. It's all mixed in together. All the good things about number 1
Definitely.
Through all of them kind of mixed in together. And
have you had a chance to play it with other people, too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. That's the
but
best.
Like the new stuff is cool, the cat suits and the worlds, but mm-hmm. just playing... It's basically playing Super Mario 3 in 3D,
yeah.
and it's...
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to think what else. I don't know. I'm a Zelda guy. Like, that was always my...
Oh, yeah,
that was
absolutely.
My crack.
Yeah, for sure. Have you played the new one on 3DS? Not really that new now, a couple years old.
The 3DS?
A Link Between Worlds.
No, I have not. I have a 3DS I haven't bought yet, because I have all the collector's 3DS. I need to get that one.
Did you like the Super Nintendo one?
A Link to the Past?
Yeah.
I play it at least once a year. Like,
I play it
all the time.
Just like that. It's
I mean,
so amazing.
That was my gateway, because I had the first one, but I was too young to really appreciate what was going on. It was so hard. Never really played the second one until years later.
Oh, yeah.
But Link to the Past is the first game I remember sitting down in the basement and just for 2 weeks solid, like, this
Absolutely.
Is what I'm going to do from with
get
my
it.
Life
get
until
it,
I
get
made
it. Get it. Get the new one. You will love it.
So I'll have to get that one. I'm excited about the Wii U one. It looks, the open world
yes.
one looks fantastic.
Oh, my
so.
Gosh.
And I was always an early PC gamer, so like the Sierra titles, like the King's Quest, the Quest for Glory,
oh, yeah.
like that kind
Absolutely.
Of stuff. But awesome. So if we tune in to fngaming.net, mm-hmm. what can we expect to hear other than, obviously we've covered it. It's going to be about gaming, but
right.
like why, what's, why you guys? What are we going to listen to?
Well, for one, half the show we spend making fun of each other because like I told you before, we all have different tastes. So we give each other crap the entire time. We like doing top five lists. We like ranking each other and then giving each other crap about our picks. We'll do reviews, just short little reviews on games. And we also, like I said, we like to take a philosophical perspective. We'll talk about what makes a good villain, and we'll just go, you know, for 20 minutes straight on different archetypes of what a good villain would be and what works in what worlds. and just kind of try to break everything down. And then we encourage people to write in and talk to us about it.
Awesome. So if you want to hear all about an audio podcast dedicated to, you know, the best in video games and narratives and philosophies, check out fngaming.net or facebook.com/thefrozennorth. JJ, thanks for talking to us, man.
Absolutely.
Great. Enjoy the rest of your con.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys, we're back at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. This is Tyler with Project Nerd, and I'm here with Fred and Nicole from Talk About Board Games. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Going good.
How's your guys' con been so far?
It's the first time we've been here, but we've been to similar conventions. Of course, we talk about board games, so we've been to Gen Con.
Twice.
Like the, you know, in Indianapolis, which is probably, four or five times bigger than this. But
yeah, Gen Con is still the one we have not. We've been to Indie Pop Con, which is right before it, but we haven't been to Gen Con yet, but we hear amazing things about it.
Yeah. It's a good time, though.
I think it was like their second year last year or first year, so it was a new one.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So you guys, I mean, obviously, I feel like it probably does what it says on the tin, talk about board games.
Yeah. I mean, we try to be pretty loose. I mean, we do talk about the games we're playing and the games that we hope to play. But, of course, we do, like, topical conversations where we just talk about the theme, because a lot of modern board games have, like, it's not checkers. So, I mean, there's a lot of you know, themes that are specific to it. Not all of it's about farming either, which you might know, like Settlers of Catan or something like that. Those games are kind of like, oh, boy, I made a city. And, you know, we do you know, all sorts of different games, fight the zombie games or, you know.
We invite our friends over, and they fight zombies with us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So then we record all of us talking and playing and fighting and
making fun of each other.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people who aren't maybe into board games or aren't into gaming and tabletop gaming in general don't realize that there are so many games out there about anything and everything.
It's a whole new world. When someone who doesn't have, like, isn't up to date on modern board gaming and stuff, they usually say Monopoly or something like that. But these are.
We did play Monopoly recently, though. But it was the Tycoon. What was it?
It's the best version of Monopoly ever. It's the
Tycoon one?
It's Tycoon the Tropical Tycoon.
Tropical Tycoon.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's timed and it has different point systems, so it ends a lot earlier, and usually it doesn't end with you yelling at your uncle that you hate him and you don't ever want him to come over again.
I mean, that game can get dark real fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not a pleasant one.
But that's we're playing other types of games. Like you said, they've got a lot more theme than what Monopoly has. Not so much the roll and move. Types of games.
There's all sorts of different mechanics that people don't really realize. Everybody thinks, like, a lot of the newer games that people think of as a newer game is oh, I play a DVD and then I answer a trivia question. But that's not, these are like a lot more mechanically sophisticated games, and the themes are a lot more realized in the game as well.
So what are some things you guys have played on the podcast recently that really blew you away?
We just did Nothing Personal.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a mafia game with a hierarchy in it, and you're trying to put your influence on certain mobsters, and there's a lot of negotiation in it, so we found that, like,
and potentially, you know, backstabbing in it.
Well, yeah, everything's up for negotiation. So every move someone makes, you can say, I'll give you $3 not to do that.
No.
Or I'll give you $3 to hit that guy, you know, kill his gangster instead of my gangster, you know, et cetera. Which
we were nice, though. We played by the binding rules, so what you say actually has to go.
Yeah, you can't go, you can't take the money and then decide,
and
not,
then
to
decide
do
not to do it.
Fred's mean. I'll tell you all.
I would. That's for sure. That's one we just did. We're about to do Aliens Encounters this Sunday.
Legendary Encounters. Yeah, we're going to record that probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
We played Robinson Crusoe. That was a lot of fun.
Yep, that was our debut episode.
Oh, really?
We have not read, although
it's a co-op game. That's another thing people don't realize, is that games are cooperative now, and you actually team up as a table against the game itself, and that's...
Yeah. I've definitely, I mean, a lot of the cons I've been to recently, you see more and more displays of people showing their new game where it is like a dungeon crawler in a board game, you know, where you're working together to, you know, explore a dungeon or beat the monster or something like that.
It's less daunting than it used to be, because you don't have to develop a character and live by this character. You can just...
Well, and I feel like everyone tries to put them in two boxes. It's either Monopoly, it's simple, or it's 12 cards and the most complicated rule book in the history of the world. And, like, there's a middle ground where there's other things out there that you can do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to bring to the table.
So if someone tunes in to talk about board games, like, what's kind of the format? What do we expect to get?
Well, the top half of the podcast will be mostly us talking about games. We have segments. We have
jingles.
Fred
likes to write songs, and
we have
jingles, so that part's
Show
fun.
Show up for the jingles.
The jingles are great.
But no, we talk about, like, a lot of games we're playing. We give, like, mini reviews and stuff like that about it. And then the second half, we actually have recorded game sessions where we actually build in clips
you know, that are like funny moments or telling moments about the game. So you sort of get educated about the game that we're talking about. We have a featured game every week, and we give them like a mini review at the end of it.
Yeah. It's a lot of theme that goes along with that game. So for nothing personal, we talked about mafia movies. Fair enough. Seemed appropriate.
More winners or losers when it comes to the end of the game after we've... I mean, as far as... Okay, so just Fred's the winner all the time?
That's
what she says.
I mean, are you... More often than not, are you, I mean, having a good time? Are they good games for the most part?
We always have a good time.
All right,
oh, yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough.
We wouldn't use it if it wasn't a good game.
Fair enough.
No, we'd use it if it wasn't a good game.
As long as it's good radio. It's a good podcast.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we make a bad game sound good.
Fair enough. if someone, you know, hasn't maybe played a board game that wasn't Trivial Pursuit or Monopoly in a long time but wants to get into it, give me your gateway drug. What's your... Go down to your game store and find this game right now.
I'd say Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, usually Ticket to Ride. King of Tokyo is a good one.
Yeah. Settlers of Catan is a good one.
Star Realm, surprisingly. I didn't think it would be because I thought it might be a little daunting.
These are always based around a mechanic. Like Star Realms in particular is what's called a deck-building game. And you actually start with the same hand of cards, and you're playing cards out of your hand, and you're purchasing additional cards off the table or from a draw that make your deck completely different. And by the end of the game, you're having a completely unique experience versus the other person, but still playing head-to-head.
And different every time you play it through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Ticket to Ride is...
Ticket to Ride's a set collection game, and you're actually building routes of railroads across the United States, but it's really nice because it's a gateway game because it feels like you're playing something massively different than what you're used to. And it's not hard at all. You can teach it in probably 10 to 15 minutes. It's a big deal for that.
Lots of longevity, too, though, so you can play it over and over again. And
awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. So Ticket to Ride, people out there, obviously Settlers of Catan, which I think is one that maybe people have heard of.
Yeah.
Star Realms.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
Awesome. King of Tokyo.
What's that one about?
What's cool about King of Tokyo
it's
like is
area
that...
area control.
Well, it also plays off a mechanic that people know already. They already know how to play Yahtzee. And this is that, except this is the coolest thing. You have a game board. There's one space on it. You're either on Tokyo or you're not in Tokyo. If you're in Tokyo, everybody attacks you. If you're in Tokyo, you attack everyone.
Everyone being Godzilla, the
all these kaiju monsters.
Oh yeah.
Right? And so the one thing about Tokyo is you cannot heal in Tokyo. So the dice can heal you as well as attack other people. So you're forced in and out, and you gain victory points while you're in, and you have a hit point that you're tracking as well on your character. Really a lot of fun, lots of luck.
That sounds amazing.
We should play. Yeah. We need to play that.
There's an updated version of it that's not quite Gateway. That's called King of New York. It's designed by the same guy who did Magic the Gathering. So it's Richard Garfield is the name of the guy who did it. So he's a very prolific designer. He did
nice
Robo Rally. He did
Robo Rally is awesome.
Yeah, and Magic the Gathering, and he's in both those King of Tokyos.
Yeah, King of Tokyo and King of New York.
Yeah.
Which we haven't played. We bought King of New York and have not gotten a chance to bring it to the table yet. So
I'm already planning an episode with that, though. It's going to be my buddy and his son, who's like 8 or 9, I think.
Who's attacking New York in that one, or is it a different mechanic?
There's multiple suburbs in King of New York, and there's also a lot more army interactions, so the game's playing more against you as well as the other players. So it's a little bit next level as far as like complication. They call it, you know, people refer to it as King of Tokyo for gamers.
Fair enough. Awesome. So it sounds like a lot of fun. So people go to talkaboutboardgames.com.
Yes.
Are you guys Facebook, Twitter, anywhere else? Or
yes.
Okay.
We're on Facebook, Talk About Board Games. I think if you just search it, it pops up.
Fair enough.
And on Twitter, we're TA Board Games because Talk About Board Games is too long.
All right. Awesome. So guys, go to your local game store, pick up, you know, Ticket to Ride King of Tokyo, take it home with your friends, and
Have a good time.
And if you need some ideas, go to talkaboutboardgames.com, listen to a podcast.
Absolutely.
Fred and Nicole will show you guys the ropes.
And we'll take feedback, too.
There you go.
Feedback is good.
Give them some tips on what to play next. So, guys, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having
us. Enjoy the rest of your con. Tyler with Project Nerd, and I am here with John from Worst Comic Podcast
Ever.
Ever.
That's right. Not just the worst comic podcast for one day, ever.
For time immemorial. I can't even say
and,
the words.
Right, in perpetuity.
Perpetuity, there it is.
That's right. So, yeah, so very excited to be here and glad to meet you guys. You're a podcast that we've all listened to and definitely have enjoyed. and then getting a chance to come here and go to your panel and hear a little bit about what you guys have gone through and learned. The lessons you've learned is it's interesting because it's very much the same path we've been on. Yeah.
So. I wish we could stop learning these things, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. So.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about Worst Comic Podcast. What is it?
Sure. So the Worst Comic Podcast Ever is a project that myself and two of my friends that we've been friends for 30 years. We met all in junior high. And when we met, we all collected comics. We didn't all collect the same things, but we collected comics. We traded. We'd get together and we'd read and swap and have a great time discussing comics. And we decided... There's something very exciting happening behind
Well, it's the entire cast of Archer, it looks like.
Oh, yes, yes, I saw them earlier.
And Dr. Venture, and they are really excited about Dr. Venture.
Yes. So that's what happens at Comic-Con. So it's always stuff going on. So anyway, we realized we didn't get a chance to see each other as much as we would. We have kids now, and so instead of getting together and having poker night, we decided we'd get together and talk about comics, and we might as well record it. We started with a little... omnidirectional mic that we all talked into and my friend's Mac, and he would bring he had the giant computer. If we did it at my house, he would bring the whole thing over to my house, and we're hauling it up and down, and we're just like, this is just a disaster waiting to happen. And we wanted to be able to go out and do interviews, and so we moved up equipment, and about that time we've mostly done just us, but we've interviewed Hillary Lewis, who's a local cosplayer, and Elite Supergirl Jessica, who's been on our show, and Jason Aaron, who's the author of the Star Wars comic. We've had him on our show, and we've got a number of other guests lined up for over the next few months. And we also, and here at Planet Comic Con, we work with the Hero Initiative, so we're here volunteering with them. And so a lot of the people that we've met and associated with are folks that we've met through the Hero Initiative. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So comic book fan for many, many years. Get into it now.
Pretty much life, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, so you just wanted to do something, the impetus started, talk about comics. So if someone tunes in for an episode of Worst Comic Podcast Ever, what kind of content are we expecting? So comic reviews or just
sure.
Who could beat who? Or
So we do a lot of different stuff. I mean, we try to do interviews. We've had a lot of interviews. But usually we start the show with a review. So usually Jerry has a review that he does of a comic. We also have a book of the year that we're reading, which is the new Star Wars comic from Marvel. So every month when it comes out, we'll talk about that particular issue and what we liked about it. And then we usually have some topic that we're going to discuss. So one week we did a comic book draft. So we had 15 rounds. You could pick a writer, an artist, or a comic book title. And by the end, you had to have five of each. And then we took a few minutes, and each person got to put together their five. So what was my best five combinations? And then we have a survey going online that people can vote for what theirs are. And whoever gets the least vote, we will make fun of relentlessly. So I think you got, which is a little bit how you guys do too.
Yeah.
You like to rub it in. So one of my friends drafted somebody, and we're like, you know, that's a fine pick. I'm going to go with people who are alive, but that's cool. You know, if you want to go that way, I think that's totally awesome. So we did a comic book draft. We'll talk about movies or TV, comic book news. Or we'll talk about themes. You know, one of the things in comics is the 90s in comics was bad. Everybody agrees on it. We did a whole show, though, on gems from the 90s, the good comics in the 90s that you could go out and get. If you wanted to find something really good, what could you find? And so that was just kind of a theme. So usually every week we do an episode about something related to comics, if
awesome.
It's not an interview.
How is the new Star Wars comic? I've heard it's breaking sales records like no comic
awesome,
in ages.
Awesome, yeah. Issue number one was the best-selling comic of two decades. Over a million copies sold. They had, I think, over 70 different variant covers of the book.
Jeez.
Yeah. And we're lucky because Jason Aaron, the author, is right here in Kansas City. And we got to talk to him on the day it came out. And it was great. He was here in Kansas City that Friday. He was at Midtown Comics in New York City. I mean, one of the most famous comic shops in the world. And he was there on Friday, but he was here in Kansas City the day it came out. So we got a chance to talk to him about it. And he told us about going out to Skywalker Ranch and getting to see all the props and, like, this replica land speeder and all these things. And it was
crazy.
Just like, oh, my gosh. He goes, I don't know I don't know if any of it helped me write the book, but it was awesome. It was awesome to go do. And it's a book that picks up right after episode 4. And so it's like 2 weeks after episode 4, and it's just, boom, picks up right where it left off. And it's Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie and the droids. It's everybody you want to see. So it's a great read so far. I've really enjoyed it.
I've heard some really amazing things about it. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I just haven't had a chance to get into it.
Oh, yeah, so, totally.
And it's fun. I mean, like, I know a lot of people were upset that they basically
wiped out canon.
Right. And the expanded universe had gotten to a point where it was, I mean, it was cumbersome, but some of the things that were created were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's fun to go back and redo it, like, fill in that gap again, that Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, and it can be...
I mean, if they can find an excuse to reintroduce Admiral Thrawn, I'm not going to get upset, but...
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, no, I'm a big Admiral Thrawn fan. I love that series when it came out. And
anything
and
Timothy Zahn did was fantastic.
Yeah, no, totally on that. And it was just, like, he... Yeah, we don't have to go into that, but it was. But I'm with you on that. And to me, you know, when you decide, you know what, everything's gotten too complicated, we need to sort of reset. I get it. And to me, I still enjoy those books. You know, just because it's not in canon.
Yeah.
Like, well, you mean it didn't happen? You know, it didn't actually ever happen.
Well, there's entire RPGs, and you can still pretend, you can still use all that stuff. So.
Right. Well, and nobody knew necessarily going on and all that Star Wars was still going to be around and be insanely popular this many years later. So
every you know Thrawn trilogy that was wiped out, you know, New Jedi Order was wiped out as well. So. So you guys have reviews, you have your book of the year, the draft, that kind of stuff sounds fun because you can make fun of people for picking, you know, dead people or Rob Liefeld.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that did not happen. What's amazing is how many people we left off on the table. We got to the end, we're like, nobody drafted this guy or this guy. Yeah, there was a lot of good talent left on the table.
Who's number one overall draft pick?
Jerry had the number one overall draft pick, and now I'm trying to remember who he took. I think he took a title, and I think he took Fantastic Four because he's a big Fantastic Four guy. I took Darwin. I had the number two pick. I took Darwin Cook, who's one of my favorite. And the nice thing there was he's a writer and an artist, so I could use him either way. Yeah. So it's the utility player.
Little switch hitter.
But awesome. Yeah, exactly. And then we have new content on our site every day. So on Mondays, Cullen does a 60-second review. So he's a little video review of a comic. Tuesdays, we do Four Comics I Want that's sponsored by Elite Comics here in Overland Park. And it's just four comics that are coming out on Wednesday that person wants to get. We rotate who does that. Wednesday, I have a feature called Worst Comic Comics, and it's basically a comic. It's the idea is to be funny, but it's a comic about comics. So this past week, I got a flowchart to tell the difference between whether or not you are Iron Man or Adam from the Arrow series right now, who seems suspiciously like Iron Man. So yeah. So if you're not sure how to tell the difference, you can go through and do that. Thursday is Throwback Thursday. Jerry reviews either Marvel Essential or DC Showcase, one of their products that has old back issues. And then Friday the podcast comes out. So each weekday we have new content. So
awesome.
Yeah.
How about the conflict? What are the debates? Do we have a DC guy, a Marvel guy? Do we have a Batman can beat everyone, Batman can't beat everybody?
Yeah, those are good ideas too. Yeah, I'm a DC guy more. And Jerry and Cullen were both Marvel guys growing up. And so there's a little bit there, although we know a little bit across the board. But I'm definitely more the DC guy. But when we did our Publisher of the Year, we had a category. So we did our Academy Awards. And Jerry picked Marvel, and Cullen and I picked Image. And then we put that online for people to vote on who they liked. And, because Cullen and I picked Image, we have relentlessly... you know, just brutalize Jerry for picking Marvel. But then anytime we do our four new books for the week, and he's like, oh, there were three of them were Marvel books. So we give and take. But because we've been friends for 30 years, it's, you know, it's like you guys have talked about too, that you're friends.
Yeah.
So if you're friends and you're not giving each other static, you're not good enough friends. Yeah. So
what's out there right now that you guys have come across that if someone maybe hasn't heard of but should definitely pick up?
You know, there's some great stuff from people that are here at Comic-Con. that come almost every year. Brian Hurt and Colin Bunn one of my favorite books is called The Sixth Gun.
I just saw that over there, and I didn't have a chance. It was a really busy booth, but the covers and the premise looked awesome.
Yeah, it is, and it definitely lives up to the promise of it. And Colin Bunn's such a great writer, and Brian Hurt's awesome, and you know, Brian's a great artist. I've got some commissions from him, and Sixth Gun is getting close to wrapping up, but it's definitely one you can go out and get the trades and read through, and it's just fantastic. I'm kind of a sucker for Westerns anyway, but this is like a supernatural Western, and the story actually goes back even almost to the dawn of time. It's just this is the time that they're at right now, but it's almost like a science fiction, mystical Western all mixed up, but in a fantastic way, and the characters are really, really engaging. Matt Kent's not here this year, but anything by Matt Kent, especially Mind Management, is a psychological thriller. It's basically people with sort of mental abilities that the government has used as spies and to manipulate the public. Like, one person's ability basically is to write advertisements that are so compelling that they can put the advertisement in a newspaper next to a story they don't want you to know about or don't want you to read. So that the article's there, but you're so attracted to the advertisement that you don't even see the story, so you just miss it. And all these little things that they can manipulate the public, that's a fantastic one. Anything Jason Aaron's Thor book is not under the radar, but it's definitely a book that I would definitely recommend. And his other another book by him, Southern Bastards, is a fantastic book. I'll mention one more just because Robert Wilson IV is here. A book called Bitch Planet, and by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and it's really sort of a feminine, it's a play on the sort of female exploitation prison movies, but it's sort of, the goal is to create these characters as real characters who are being sort of subjugated and everything, but not exploited for the purpose of the book, but for the purposes of the storyline. And Robert Wilson IV did the art for issue 3. But Kelly Sue DeConnick is the author of it, and it's just an amazing book. So those are definitely some that I would recommend that people check out that they might not have. That's not Batman or Superman or things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. Yep. So if people want to hear more about, your podcast or want to listen to the podcast, where do we go? What do we need to do?
Sure, totally. So you can go to our website, like I said, www.worstcomicpodcastever.com. You can also look for us on Facebook, Worst Comic Podcast Ever, and then on Twitter, WCPEVER, so WCP Ever. And so we're also on iTunes, so you can look for us under Comic Podcasts. And we're about 6 months into the podcast, but it's been great so far, and I think we've learned a lot of the lessons you guys have learned parallel.
Yeah.
We should have come to this podcast. We should have come to your panel 6 months ago. There wasn't one 6 months ago. That's fine. So, but we're glad to see that we're on the right track. Yeah. So, yeah.
So anything big upcoming that people should keep an eye out for?
You know, this next week, we're actually planning on doing a lot of interviews tomorrow on the floor, not only with fans that are here, but also with creators. We did 3 or 4 interviews today, a lot of 10, 12-minute interviews, sort of short, catching up with some of our favorite creators and what they're working on. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're kind of doing some stuff, then we're also asking them, if you could have any superpower, which superpower would you want and why? So I'm going to ask you right now, if you could have any superpower.
That is a rough one. I got to say,
I know, it's hard.
Let's go, and hey, you want to say invisibility, but then you still can't do only.
Right.
Let's go super speed, because you could basically.
I love super speed.
Super speed's a big one. I don't know. I think super speed or mind control are the two, like. Whew,
yeah. Those mind control is almost too tempting to get into trouble. Yeah, like invisibility.
Like that one's going
to
go. That one's going to corrupt pretty quickly.
Yeah,
like invisibility, too. Invisibility is like you start thinking of the things you can do with invisibility, and it starts going dark really quickly.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, totally. And I can't remember who, a comedian who, John, I can't remember his last name right now, Hodgkins, who was on a Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he did actually a story with NPR where he was interviewing people, which would you rather have, flight or invisibility? And his basic premise, his basic idea at the end was people who said flight were lying. everyone would take invisibility, but you only said flight because you felt like you like it was wrong
everything
to
you
want.
Everything you could think of invisibility was
there's not really a lot.
Not a lot of good things you can do with
no,
that.
No, no, not at all.
Good
so,
in the world, or
yeah.
not a lot of altruistic things
no,
you can do with it.
Totally, totally. And we're recording. I'm recording for our podcast as well. So tell us your name and the name of your
okay,
podcast.
Okay, so
as
I'm
well.
Tyler Hedrick, and I'm from ProjectNerd.com, Project-Nerd.com. Our podcast is the Nerdcast. We've been around for about 3 years or so. If you go to our website, it's just all the things that we nerd out about, geek out about. So convention coverage, we try to go to as many conventions a year as we can,
yep.
interview creators, cosplay artists, actors, you name it. Lots of cosplay, like galleries, photo shoots we sponsor, and then reviews. So book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, video game reviews, that kind of stuff. And then obviously we have our the Nerdcast, which is just an hour of us talking nonsense that's about nerd culture. And then we also have another one that's done by a couple guys that work with us that aren't on the Nerdcast called The Optimistic Gamer, which is a gaming podcast, which is, if you're into that sort of thing,
right.
that's a fairly new one that's gotten going. But
and one of the things I love in hearing your guys' story is how you were friends first, and then the podcast came second, which is what we are. And I think the same lesson is that we tried to be too programmed at first. And even when we have a theme, the theme goes, and if the theme works, then we keep going with it because it's fun.
Yeah.
And if the theme doesn't work, we go to something. We veer off and we do something else.
We used
else,
to have
so.
Agendas. We used to try to do segments. Like,
yes.
we're going to do a minute. We're going to do 5 minutes here of the news and break it down, and then we're going to do 30 minutes of the content. And then
wasn't
the
organic.
Tail end, we'll do this. And it was just, it felt robotic. It felt
yep.
bad. And you would blank out all the time. And then we would try to make a list of all the things we were going to hit. And we just learned really quickly, number one, that we can't function that way. At least
yeah.
I know I can't.
No.
I feel like a couple of them, structured things would work for them. I'm the one who will go off on the tangent about the most innocuous thing for the better part of the entire episode. But we found it just, come in with a couple ideas of things we want to touch on or bring up and start the conversation and see where it goes from there. And, I mean, between the five of us, we're going to figure something. Something's going to hit a nerve and that's going to become a thing.
Yeah, so. And we're the same way. We try to cut the show at an hour, and we usually do pretty good right around, plus or minus a little bit, but because we'd keep going, there'd be no end.
Yeah.
If we,
the
eventually
amount of
we have
stuff
to
that,
go home.
I mean, I feel like at some point we just need to leave it on in the room all the time, because the amount of stuff that gets talked about before and the amount of stuff that gets talked about after, you're like, God,
yeah.
that was gold right there.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Yeah.
Where was that in the podcast?
I know. I did an interview earlier today, and the person I was talking to, I just wanted to get a little pre-set up before I interviewed him. And they're telling me great stuff. I go, okay, let's start recording. And I start recording, and at the end, it's been about 10 minutes, and I told her I didn't want to take up more than 10 minutes of her time, and I stopped, and she went on for 10 more minutes telling me about it. And I was like, she's clearly enthusiastic about it. I love talking to her.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I could have been recording this business.
We did an interview, where was it, 2 years ago? C2E2, I was interviewing an author who had written a couple of books that I really liked. Her name was Alex Hughes, and we met in a hotel lobby, sat down with the recorder, hit the button, and talked about the book and her writing process and did the whole thing. About 45 minutes of quality stuff.
Right.
Said, all right, cool, thanks. Hit the button. We proceeded to just sit there and talk for another hour. I'm like, why don't I just leave it on all the time? And then there was so much good stuff there that would have been, if not as good, if not better, but at least as good as the stuff that we had recorded.
Yeah, which I think is a sign of a good interview, is that you get into, you're having a conversation.
Conversation, yeah.
And that's happened with a lot of our interviews, is that people, we turn off the mics. And again, just like you said, when we interviewed Jessica Porter here in town, we talked to her about her charitable work and everything. We got done and she just kept telling stories. I mean, she's one of those great interviews, because you ask a question and you don't have to ask another question for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but she's so engaging and entertaining. You're just like, tell us more. Just keep going.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I wish it took us a while to get good at. And there's a give and take, being a good interviewer. Because,
right.
a lot of our
convention
talkers are like, what do you ask? How do you make it? How do you turn it into a conversation? How do you get them to give you more than, the boilerplate? Let's just keep talking. Go,
totally,
go nuts. Let's do it. So,
yeah,
but at the same time, you get into your mode. And even if you consciously try not to, you immediately hit that button and all of a sudden you've become straight up like, local news reporter, tell us about blank. Okay, blank. Now tell us about blank. Now, okay. All right, cool. That was good. And thanks for your time. And then,
It's like you're reading a script too much. And then, or, you know, or I think we would forget our lines in the sense that, what were we supposed to talk about now? What was the topic? Instead of just going.
Yeah.
And that's what people love about it. When we've talked to people afterwards, the feedback we get is, it's just fun to hear you guys just, when you just start talking and that, it just, I mean, feels like I'm just listening to some guys who are friends.
Yeah, I mean, like you definitely figure out really quick that the unplanned, weird, you know, segue into nonsense is always going to be the best one.
Totally.
The one where you try to really hit the note, like, let's talk about this thing. All right, cool. Let's talk about this blank. It people can tell. Even if you segue really nice and you have, I mean, that's a joke. I mean, that's a running joke in our podcast, is about the segue.
Like, right.
How we'll consciously try to make one, and then Iggy will make these really good ones and then ruin it by being like, that was a really good segue.
Right,
did you
yeah.
hear that? What I just did right there?
Let me just pat myself on the back. And
that's another
it's gone.
One. That's another one that you get in the habit of doing. And some of us are better at it, some of us are worse at it, but is, you know, giving the commentary on your own podcast while podcasting it, like making it like that right there, or you're doing this, or and then we did that thing, or getting into the radio reset mode when you're doing like a long form interview and like halfway through, and we're here with blank blank, like we're not on the radio, no one's
right.
just now tuning in,
right.
like no one yes. has just jumped into the halfway point.
Yeah.
Like
for those of you that just got out of work,
someone had to actively go download this and start at the beginning. No one just tuned us in on the radio.
Yeah, for those of you who skipped to the 30-minute mark and
we're back,
hoping it would get better, you're wrong.
this is really what we're going to do for
yes.
the whole hour.
That's awesome.
So you mentioned it before, and I want to make sure we touch on it. Tell
yep.
us about the Hero Initiative here in Kansas City.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, so the Hero Initiative is an organization that helps comic book creators in need. It's a national, it's a federally recognized organization, a charitable organization, and so they look at a lot of the comic book creators who, especially the people who worked earlier in the comic book area, who didn't get the residual rates and didn't get 401ks and don't have the sort of support network or health insurance. And so a lot of times when they go through issues, they get sick. One, you know, we've had a person with had a fire in their house. The Hero Initiative is somebody who is a group that can step in and help them out. And so what we do here at the con is we have our 100 covers project, which is we take a theme like The Walking Dead or Avengers, and they have 100 different comic book artists make a cover for a comic book, a sketch cover. They auction off the originals on eBay. They collect the rest in the book, and we sell those. You know, we got things like tote bags and just some handy stuff over there with our logo on it. But then we also, a lot of the creators here have been kind enough to put a little bucket, sort of a tip jar on their booth. And because the artists and writers don't charge for autographs and things like a lot of the media people do. And so they can go, you get an autograph, and the people say, you know, do I need to pay for the autograph? No, but if you want to leave a tip. And so yesterday we raised $1,300 on the first day here at Planet Comic Con, and we haven't counted up today, but hoping to do around there again. So last year was the first year we did that here, and it was the most successful we've been. But so many comic creators around the country, around the world, have jumped on and supported Hero Initiative, and so it's been a phenomenal organization. We've volunteered here for 12 years for them. And it's great. It's one of the things we love doing every year.
Awesome. If someone yep. is not, you know, actively at a con or something, but
right.
wants to help out Heroes Initiative, what do they need to do?
Totally. So just Google the Hero Initiative, and it'll take you to their website. Almost everything, all the products I've talked about are going to be on for sale there. And they a lot of times have links. They have links to their eBay site where they'll auction off a lot of that original art. Some of it they'll do at events, but a lot of it they'll do online. And they, you know, you can do donations. They have a lot more products and T-shirts and things that you can buy to support the Hero Initiative. Great organization, and you know, we're thrilled to support it. And so, definitely go check out Hero Initiative online.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else are we doing?
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for coming
Super.
On the show.
I very much
I'm
appreciate
glad to be,
it.
I mean, I'm on your show and you're on my show.
That's right.
I feel
Thanks
awkward hosting. I feel awkward hosting your podcast right
I know.
Now. So
we let you take over. It's fun to let somebody hijack your show a little bit. So. All right, so for the Nerdcast, this is John Holloway. I'll sign off.
For Worst Comic Podcast Ever, this has been Tyler Hedrick.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, man.
All right, appreciate it.